time now for the KMD Bear Grease Report.
This Bear Grease Report brought to you by the Trail Center Lodge up north on the Gunflint Trail and Energy Plus of Duluth.
Well, I guess it just wouldn't be a Bear Grease finish if Jason Rice wasn't standing outside in the parking lot at Billy's freezing and waiting for the first team to cross the finish line. Hey, good morning, Jason.
Oh, do you wish. That's not what I'm doing. Actually, I haven't made my way up to Billy's yet. I caught up on a little bit of sleep. Oh, I think all 2 hours of it. So I will be heading up there momentarily, but meanwhile, I am coming to you live from my living room.
Wow, Jason Rice, live from the director of the Bear Grease's living room. Hey, save me a parking spot when you get up there, because we'll be reporting live, of course, from the finish line at Billy's this morning.
Are you kidding? I'll be lucky if I get one.
You're the race director. You can do anything you want.
Ryan... Well, there are 12 race directors.
Oh, no. Ryan Anderson left this morning the Two Harbors checkpoint at 5:48. Ryan Reddington left 12 minutes after him at right around 6. Matthew Schmidt was able to leave 4 minutes after that at 6:04. So what's going to happen now?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We don't know, because this is dog racing, and it's far less predictable than just about anything else I think I've ever encountered. We really, really thought that we had somebody running away for most of the race. It looked like it was going to be a case where Ryan Reddington would try and put on just a ton of distance, even though he was resting less than the others. It looked like he was going to try and put on so much distance that even the rest difference would not have been overcome. However, as time went on and a couple of dogs got left behind, due to soreness or tenderness with wrists and feet and shoulders and so forth, decisions that mushers will make usually to let that dog stay back so that they would not risk any further soreness or injury. His team dwindled down to about 6, and 6 is what the rules say you must have in order to finish this race. He's been running with 6 dogs now since I believe it's Sawbill. So he's had a challenge trying to do this whole a good chunk of the difficult hill section of the homeward stretch. He's had to do it with 6 dogs, and Ryan is a very fit guy. He's not a tall guy, but he is thin and wiry and fast, and everybody talks all the time about how they see him. They can tell when Ryan has been through that part of the trail because they see footprints alongside dog paw marks. So we kind of joke that he is the 7th dog on that team.
Now, we've talked before a little bit. Sometimes you will see racers, especially coming up a hill, you'll see them hanging on to the sled, and they've got 1 foot on the sled, and with the other, they're pushing, and that's called pedaling. And it's legal for the musher to jump off the sled and hang on and run along?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. In fact, it's very tough to get back home after almost 400 miles on your dog. It's hard to get back home through all these hills without running. So you would probably, the only musher who would be able to probably do that is someone who still perhaps has a full team of 14 or 12, 10 dogs. It's going to be too much work on them to think that you're going to be competitive. Now, can they pull you up those hills? Absolutely they can. It's going to go much, much slower. Whereas if you jump off, you hold on with one hand as you run alongside the sled, and you get all sweaty running up the hill, and then you get to the top, and then it's really scary because you're going on a sharp downhill. So you hop back on, and you're riding the brake all the way down the hill. Then you do it all over again about 20, 30 more times. And that's what you call the homeward bound section of the Bear Grease.
Well, they call it a team for a reason. It's not the mushers and, the little engines that pull them around. It's a team. And in this instance, you're exactly right. It's a team of 7 living beings trying to do this. Now, I was lucky enough to see Ryan Anderson and Matthew Schmidt come into the Sawbill checkpoint yesterday. And they both, I didn't count dogs, but they both had a full complement of dogs, so they're running with more dogs. Do you know how many dogs they're running with at the moment?
Yeah, I believe I'm pretty sure that Ryan Anderson is running with 10. And, of course, behind him, you've got Ryan Reddington, who's still running the 6, the bare minimum to finish. And I believe that Matthew Schmidt was around 9 or 10. I don't have the exact count. I apologize. I was extremely tired when I saw them briefly coming into Two Harbors.
Well, you can get tired enough that you look at the dog team and go, wow, there's 24 dogs there. Wow. So
Yeah. So, you do start to see things when you get that tired.
So now tell me, we touched briefly on this yesterday, and I think that this is so interesting. Of course, if you're a nice person, and I was talking with a friend who came to photograph with along with me yesterday who had, you know, didn't know anything about sled dog racing, and I explained about trail courtesy, and if you're going a little faster, you yell trail, and the other team, if there's room, you know, is supposed to pull off a little bit or scooch to the side and let you pass. But as you're on the homebound stretch, no rules of trail courtesy apply. Now, can you know how people, when they're driving on the highway and they want to be jerks and they get like right in front of you and you try to move over and they move over in front of you, do mushers do that, or are they just better people?
You mean almost like blocking in NASCAR, where
yeah,
you're watching
yeah.
the rearview mirror and you just
right? Do mushers do that?
You could. You certainly could in no man's land. That would be difficult to do. A dog team is not nearly so maneuverable that you can just simply zig and zag back and forth to block someone from passing you. But if you had leaders that would actually indulge you on that request, you, in theory, could try and block them.
But aren't mushers like nicer people than that? I mean, is there like an unspoken rule that you don't act like a jerk?
Yep, most of them are. And I think I would say that everyone involved with the marathon here is, they're not the type. Do they want to win? Absolutely. I mean, Ryan Anderson, he was really intending for this Bear Grease to not be so much of a competitive Bear Grease. In other words, I mean, he certainly would like to win, but he wants to just have this as a really good training exercise. He's got to keep training, putting lots of miles on those dogs to go to the Iditarod, which he will go do his first. And that's a very substantial investment. I mean, it's a $30,000 bill before you even get to the starting line with your dog. So it's an expensive venture to undertake an Iditarod. Ryan was saying that he just wanted good, clean runs, meaning don't let the team run too fast, because fast is actually when dogs start to get injured wrists and pulled muscles and soreness. He doesn't want to do any of that to these dogs, because these dogs still have a gigantic task ahead of them in 1 month. But
and a month
his
is
steady
not...
approach, his steady approach has proven just to be, he's following his exact plan. He wasn't even trying to win it. I guarantee today he is trying to win it now that he's almost there.
I thought I understood from you, too, that a month, if you push the dogs too far, that even the month between the Bear Grease and the Iditarod isn't enough for them to recover completely if you completely wipe them out on the Bear Grease.
That's true. So there's different levels of exhaustion, right? So you can get to a point where you're exhausted in a normal sense, like, for instance, you went and had a two-hour workout today, or if you happen to jog or go running, you had a real good long run that challenged you real hard. So perhaps you ran, you've only ever run 2 miles before. Let's say today you did 10. It's going to take you probably multiple days before those hamstrings and all those muscles in the legs are going to kind of loosen back up again and feel okay. You probably wouldn't want to go do it again the next day. The dogs train typically 40 or 50 mile runs at a time, and then towards race season approach, or the Bear Grease, they will start to string some of those together, back-to-backs they call it. So one of your Bear Grease mushers probably went out a few weeks before the race, or maybe even just a couple weeks before the race, and did a 40 mile, took a rest on the trail for a couple of hours, ran another 40 mile, took another rest for a couple, two, three more hours, and ran another 40 mile. And that's a good way to get the dogs used to run, rest, and get them into a rhythm, get them used to the routine. But when you do 120 miles, even in a back-to-back-to-back, it's still not the same as doing 375 miles. So there will be definitely some soreness afterwards. The harder you make the dogs run, the longer that recovery time is going to be afterwards. And that's what the Iditarod mushers typically want to avoid during the bear grease. They just don't want to push so hard that the dogs need longer than a month to bounce back.
Now, Ryan Reddington, his grandfather, as we've mentioned, was one of the original founders of the Iditarod Sled Dog Race. And he's been sled dog racing since he could stand up and hang on to a sled. And is he? Do you know if he's planning to run the Iditarod this year?
Yes, he is.
There were four
mushers from the Bear Grease who were signed up. Ryan Reddington, Ryan Anderson, Nathan Schroeder. And there was one more. Oh, Dr. Joe Carson.
Right. And so he's been pushing, Ryan Reddington's been pushing his dogs pretty fast this race.
Yes, he has. Now, Ryan has something that probably the rest of the field does not. He has family up in Alaska that has a gigantic sled dog touring business, and they have quite a large number of sled dogs. So he does have others from which to draw on for his Iditarod team.
He doesn't need to bring his Bear Grease dogs.
Correct.
One final thing, and then I'm gonna let you go, Jason. I had the opportunity to see Nathan Schroeder come in to Sawbill and confess to shamelessly eavesdropping, and he seemed discouraged. He said that his dogs had started out fast, then they were slow, and he said that the last section of the trail leading into Sawbill had been hard on them, and he really seemed kind of dispirited. This isn't the race that he had hoped to run, I gather.
It definitely wasn't. I got that same sense. Although you also have to realize that most mushers will have they'll have moments of self-doubt during the race. Right? I mean, this is a very big challenge for them and their dog. And especially if you've had success in this race, he's had the magic formula four times before this year. Just a few more sore wrists or sore shoulders. And, of course, he wants to be careful as well to not injure any dogs that he needs to go to the Iditarod, and he doesn't have a gigantic kennel, so his talent pool he's got to be very careful with. And he was, he always wants to win. He's a very nice guy. He doesn't want to do anything mean out there on the trail, but Nathan has a very competitive spirit, along with his friend Ryan Anderson, and I think he wanted to give that fifth win a really good go this year. He just didn't have all the luck this year, and he would gladly tell you. Some of the other years, he's had some really good luck. Things just didn't go wrong. Dogs didn't get those injuries, or they didn't get those illnesses like diarrhea. Sorry to talk over breakfast about that one, but that is something that happens with the dogs as they're racing. Sometimes it's stress induced. That causes dehydration, and the next thing you know, that dog is sitting out for a while. And that lowers your number of pullers, and then that lowers your odds of being right up there in contention. So, yeah, Nathan was a little bummed. He knows how to win this, and he was just bummed that it was not looking like it was his year. He's still having a good year or a good race, hanging on with a little bit smaller dog team, 8 dogs. I mean, I think he's doing very commendably. It's just not his year with the title on top.
Not the way it's been in the past. Well, Jason, thank you so very much from joining us from the unofficial race headquarters in your living room this morning. We'll see you down at Billy's. Do what you can about the parking spot. We'll be broadcasting live from the race finish this morning. And thanks again for all your help and your assistance and your great information that you've shared with our listeners here at KUMD.
I think I enjoyed it a bit. And I thank KUMD for following along and having a deep interest in this event and all of the nuances. So thank you again, and thank you to the listeners who were paying attention to all of it.
You betcha. Thanks, Jason. Jason Rice, race director this morning, and the finishers are expected, whoever those finishers might be, around 10 o'clock, a little after 10 o'clock this morning at Billy's, a little north of Duluth. And again, we'll be broadcasting live from Billy's at the race finish.
This KUMD Bear Grease Report is brought to you by Bearskin Lodge, midway up the Gunflint Trail, and by Energy Plus of Duluth.